lips.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's a good enough homily. But what does it mean? We're given these readings today, and we get Moses, who's telling the community of the Israelites to be holy. And then we get Paul, who's telling the people in Corinth to be holy. And then we get Jesus, who's telling the people to be holy. And he drops this line at the end, to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And it's easy to draw this comparison that perfection and holiness are the exact same thing. And this is where the bottom drops out, because if to be holy, I must be perfect, I'm never going to be holy, because I'm never going to be perfect. I know that's shocking to a lot of you, that I am not perfect, so I'm going to give that a moment, just let it sink in. Okay, we're moving on. Let's just take a small example. In the gospel today, Jesus tells us to love our enemies. And if we're going to do that, we've got to know who our enemies are. So we can look at this kind of big picture sort of way, where our enemies are those who are ideologically opposed to what we believe in, right? Maybe our enemies are the Republicans or the Democrats. There's way too much laughter. Maybe our enemies are someone who's pro-choice or pro-life. Maybe our enemies are pro-immigration or pro-border security. These people who just don't agree with what I believe and hold so dear. And really all we need to do in the world is to look at the media or to look at Twitter to know how well we love those people who disagree with us. We don't. Okay, so let's bring it closer to home. Maybe then I can love my enemy. If my enemy is just the guy who annoys me at work, or the person on the highway who starts riding my bumper because I'm just not going fast enough for them, or that one person in school or at work who just shows up late to every meeting or every class. Now, if I'm honest, I have a hard time loving them too, because I view in their actions an unkindness and an uncharity towards me. And I don't think too much about what's going on in their life. I'm pretty bad at loving my enemy there. part of the problem with that is because my real enemy, my truest enemy, if I really put my mind to it, if I really think about it, it's the one who experiences all these things, who experiences the emotions of anger and hatred and chooses to act on those rather than to act out of love. Which means the only real enemy I have is myself. And as a perfectionist, I hear these last words of Jesus to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect today. And that's my measuring stick. And I'm really, really bad at being perfect. So, at the end of the day, I'm really not good at loving that enemy either. This leaves us with three options then. When we hear the words to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, our first option is we can just throw it out. Right? Conventional wisdom of the day says that if something is hard or you don't understand something or you just don't like something, just ignore it. But then Paul says that the wisdom of the day is really foolishness, and foolishness is really wisdom. So, all right, we got to keep it. If we want to be wise in the eyes of God, we have to keep this. So if that's the case, well then, maybe God is giving us an impossible standard to live up to. Maybe he's telling us to be perfect because he's a jerk. Feels like that way sometimes. When God asks me to give more than I think I'm capable of, where he challenges me to go where I don't want to go, feels like he's just being a jerk. Yeah, but I know from experience that when I actually do that, where I actually give more than I think possible, where I go where I don't want to go, but I know God's calling me to go there, I find that God had my best interest all along. That he loved me in ways that I couldn't see possible. So I can't believe that God's a jerk. This leaves us with one final option then. We don't understand what God's asking of us. I like to think I'm intelligent, but as often is the case, I don't understand what God is trying to say. So let's try and break that open a little bit. Because we have an understanding of perfection today that says that if something is perfect, there's nothing wrong with it. There's no crack. There's no flaws. There's no breaks. But in the Jewish mind, the understanding of perfection is that simply the thing is complete. It's whole. So can we be complete? Can we be whole like the Heavenly Father is complete? Now that's an interesting question. How is the Father complete? Well, we know that God in his entirety is a trinity of persons, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's this community of love which is constantly giving love and receiving love. And love that overflows so much that it goes to other people. That's a big thing. That God loves so much in himself that it just flows over to us. And so if we want to be complete, if we want to be whole, if we want to be holy, if we want to be perfect like the Heavenly Father is perfect, we have to do the same. We have to give and receive love so fully and so deeply that it overflows to all those around us. And I think this is why Jesus drops this line in the context of two stories where he's asking us to give more than we think possible, to love those that we think are unlovable. Because God loves them. There's this ancient custom in Japanese pottery. There's this word for it, and I can't remember the exact word right now, but I think it's something like kintsugi or something. If you know what I'm talking about, please correct me later. But what they do in this is they find a piece of broken pottery. And it could be cracked or it could be broken. And they take the pieces and they kind of put them back together. But when they're putting the lacquer on, they add some gold dust or some silver or some platinum so that when this piece is refired, when it's made whole again, the cracks show. In fact, the cracks glow and glitter because it's the cracks, it's the brokenness of the piece which makes it unique. Can we let God do that with us? See, we are broken people. We're sinners. And we are greatly in need of a Savior. Can we allow Him to come and to fill our cracks and to fill our brokenness and let those be the things that let His light shine through? Can our brokenness be how God reaches the world through us? We're coming up to a great time in the liturgical year. It's actually my favorite liturgical season. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and it leads right into the season of Lent. And I love this season because it's a chance for us to take a step back, to realize that all these things that we think are so important in our life, the money and the power and the fame, all of these things are irrelevant compared to the love of God. And so this Lenten season, I'm going to challenge you. I'm challenging myself too, don't worry. We've got about 2 or 3 days until Lent starts in its fullness. Take that time and ask yourself, what is really keeping you from allowing God to fill in the cracks of your brokenness? And what can you do to let Him in just a little bit more? I think when Lent comes around, we kind of fall into old habits of, okay, I'm going to give up chocolate this year, or I'm going to give up alcohol this year, or, you know, I'm going to stop listening to music in the car. And those are all good things. But are those really our enemy? Are those the things that are keeping us from loving God? And how can we transform those to be so? So I'm not going to listen to music in my car this Lent. Instead, I'm going to pray a rosary as I drive. Or I'm going to call up a friend and I'm going to reach out to God's community with God's love. And I'm going to let God fill in my brokenness through that. That's a tough challenge. But if we take it seriously, if we really allow God to make us holy, to make us whole, then at the end of Lent, when we sing out Alleluia for the first time in 40-some days, it is going to be the most fully packed and loving Alleluia that we have ever cried in our lives. So be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.